Welcome to another episode of Toonami Therapy, where this week we'll be going over the series that aired on Toonami on November 11th and November 12th. I am your host, Michael, and I am here with my co-host,
Tommy.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that. Although, first, did you see the, I might as well talk a little quick about that Toonami countdown event thing. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Basically, like, it's, well, I understood it better than the previous one, but I'm still confused a bit. Basically, Tom meets a future version of him, or an alternate future, or the future version of him left behind a message of some kind, and I don't know, apparently something happened that's making Sarah integrate into the ship and has gone crazy and stuff, and Tom needs to solve it, and that's basically it. Honestly, I'm not sure if it's even really worth recapping these things because they're pretty short, and you know, there's not too much to talk about. They're just kind of there, like, to be fun,
like Sand Whale and Me.
I can't even remember what happened in that. I like the stuff with, like, Tom more because, you know, it's someone we've got, like, a bit more of investment in. And such.
I'm not invested in him.
Well, I mean, at least some. You at least know who he is. He's just a guy who, like, you know, does the announcements and stuff.
Do you know what the name of the girl from Samwell and Me was?
No.
Her, the character's name was KFC.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, man, I remember way back in the day when, they had Moltar as the host of Toonami.
Mm.
Oh, that was so way back. It's, in case you don't know, Moltar was one of the characters from this old cartoon series called Space Ghost. And actually, he was one of the villains, but don't think it was ever explained. He was just made, like, the host of it. And in the sort of, like, same 3D sort of version of, like, Tom, and, you know, he would, like, you know, turn, like, do the same kind of stuff, like, let's begin the show, we're going to watch this and stuff. I think they were doing a bunch of stuff with, like, Space Ghost stuff, because that was around the time, I think, or at least soon after, that Cartoon Planet show aired, which had that Space Ghost, and he just kind of had some of the former antagonists from its original series, like, around as sort of assistants. But now I'm talking about things that most people have probably not seen. But, yeah. All right. Anyway, so we got, more people nowadays would probably be more familiar with, like, Moltar and Space Ghost from Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But Toonami, we should actually get back to that. So we've got Dragon Ball Super Episode 40. So, in this episode, what happens is, I was looking at the wrong thing. I did get the episode right. Okay. Goku is, you know, still fighting against, Hit, and Goku wants to, like, fight Hit as absolute strongest, so he asks Beerus if he can remove all the rules about, you know, not killing your opponent so he could fight him at his strongest, and, Beerus and Champa get into an argument over it, but then Goku, like, just, decides, well, if I can't do it, I'll just, tap out, and it just leaves the ring. Which was kind of, although he does mention that the thing wouldn't have lasted that much longer and he would have lost anyway, thanks to all of that. So, it ends up being what's his name, that random last, fighter who comes, in, the one who, Beerus just had there to fill out the roster and try and made up him being super strong to try to incentivize Goku and Vegeta, and he's actually kind of a wimp. So he ends up going up and he, like, punches Hit, and Hit is just kind of like, well, Goku gave up, so whatever, and just fakes being defeated by him in one hit, and that leaves Goku's team the victor.
Uh-huh.
So he did do something at the end there.
And then it would have been much funnier if it was Mr. Satan. That would have, like, I was hoping that's how it would end. It would be Mr. Satan being the big winner. If that had happened, I would have really thought it was funny, but the way it ended, it was just kind of stupid, so...
Well, they kind of did the thing with Mr. Satan already, but when he went up against, like, the cat aliens or whatever from Planet Snack, and, you know, he, like, just punched it, just saying, well, I'll just try, and then the one happened to see the dog and just gets scared and runs off and makes it look like he punched him all that way and defeated him.
Mm.
It was like that. But anyway, the episode then ends with some guys who are apparently important showing up. I don't know who they are or why they're important, but that's the cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
So, I thought it was an okay episode. It just was kind of the conclusion because, I mean, they kind of... Yeah, not... It was just like Goku gives up, then the other guy gives up, and then because there's only one person left, they win. So I did think that was kind of a little amusing. I do wonder if we're going to actually see anything more with Monaka, I think his name was, or if he was just there to kind of be there for that gag.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dragon Ball... Move on to Dragon Ball Z Kai. Episode 139. So, first, the Gotenks has decided to just go after Buu himself and gets totally beaten up and only manages to get back to the lookout because Buu got distracted. And, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. And then Piccolo gets super angry at him and says they're going to, you know, practice to be able to do well in Super Saiyan form. Meanwhile, Mr. Satan gets given the job of defeating Majin Buu. and leading to an actually really pretty funny sequence where he's just trying, where he's, like, just sneaking around and stuff and ultimately is then trying to defeat Buu by, you know, giving him poison, which... Buu doesn't care about and actually likes him, or giving him some game that blows up, which of course does nothing. To be fair to Mr. Satan, he's always presented as a coward, and he kind of is, but it actually does take some real guts to try to do all of this.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just... But Buu, like, just decide. But all of his attempts to kill Buu just cause Buu to actually like the guy. So he ends. So he's like, okay, you be Buu's servant. So he's just kind of doing like some stuff for him while trying to think of some way to you know, maybe actually win. And that was basically then, yeah.
Wait, and how about that pose he makes Buu do?
Where he, like, basically convinces Buu to sort of lie on the ground. And then he's, like, standing there with, you know, making the sort of V for victory sign. And he takes a picture, yeah. So it looks like he's beaten Buu.
Yeah. I hope they do something with that. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was definitely the better part of the episode. Like, the whole thing with Gotenks going to fight Buu was just kind of... Like, when you look at it, well, there was no real point to it, because we, like, knew they weren't really strong enough anyway at that point, and they would have to do the Super Saiyan fusion, so just kind of, and we already knew Buu was really strong, so it didn't really serve to do anything that we didn't already know.
Right.
But the stuff with Mr. Satan and Buu was actually pretty funny.
Oh, it was, yeah. I like that stuff. The Mr. Satan part was great, but... Yeah. Also, there was a little bit about the whole Gohan thing.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on there?
I think the old dude. Oh, I can't even remember. I just thought the old dude was still doing his thing, where he just kind of walks around doing the ritual that's supposed to make him really strong.
Mm-hmm.
If there was anything, I just kind of blanked it out, so it probably wasn't that important. But mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first part was kind of boring, but just all the antics of Mr. Satan are usually pretty funny, and they were here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we'll move on to Stardust Crusaders, Episode 14. So, our main characters end up coming to a town that's filled with all this fog, and all the people there are acting really weird. And so after having some of those and some sort of weird encounters, like finding a guy who's got all these holes in him, except he's not bleeding from any of it, or this weird part where Joseph is, like, I think, jumping into the car, but then suddenly there's a bunch of spikes there, and he manages to avoid it, but no one else saw it. So basically, you know, just kind of bringing up this mystery of what's going on. And ultimately, they end up, because they want a place to stay, running across Enyaba, who they don't know is Dio's minion. And she, like, acts as, like, the only normal person there and lets them stay in their hotel and stuff. And things. So let's see. Yeah. So they're staying there, although they're pretty sure there's a stand user around somewhere that's causing the weird stuff. Then Whole Horse shows up and to talk to Enyaba, except then she gets angry and blames him for the death of her son and basically uses her stand to make him shoot himself. So I guess that's the end of him, probably. And, yeah, that's where it ends.
I was just gonna say that this episode left me in a fog.
I liked it. For the most part, I did like the sort of, you know, building up of what's going on, all the weird stuff, and, like, you know, we know, okay, it's going to be a stand, but, and we even, like, as soon as Enyaba shows up, we know it's her stand, but we don't know what it is or exactly what it's causing, and I thought, and I did like the increasing suspense and mystery there. That was very interesting to me. The, part where the episode ends feels a little random, unfortunately. But other than that, I thought it was a good episode, even if when you get down to it, it's basically almost completely set up. But it was set up, I just thought it built a good mystery there as to what exactly the stand power was, and gave a good eerie feeling, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to say about this episode.
Yeah. But I, like I said, it was mostly the atmosphere of the beginning parts of the episode. I really liked that. I kind of felt like maybe it was a little stretched out, and it took them a little long to realize, oh, wow, weird stuff is going on. This must be a stand user. Honestly, that should be their, like, go-to thing for anything. They hear a weird noise, it's probably a stand user. Anything is slightly out of the ordinary, probably a stand user.
Yeah.
Like, I just think at this point, they would, instead of, you know, only disregarding it at first and then determining it's a stand user, they should be seeing a stand user, like, everywhere, even in places where there isn't one.
Right, yeah.
Okay. All right, so Iron-Blooded Orphans, episode 30. So we cut to a bunch of characters that I don't really know that much about. and they're on Earth doing stuff, and there's some political things because one of the guys who's sort of in their sort of link to Tewaz is kind of a jerk. And but the other guy they liked gets comatose due to this explosion, and some of the guys want to go and try to avenge him, but then one of the kids who's there, like, is trying to hold them back, and then the main characters that we actually recognize and care about are decide to go on their way there, even though it'll take a few weeks, and that's kind of it. And then there's some weird political stuff I was confused about.
This episode, well, you said that these were a whole bunch of characters you didn't know about, but I would describe them as a bunch of characters I didn't care about. So, Gundam continues to be convoluted with the political stuff, and I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the mecha fights either, so in reality, I'm just kind of not a fan of anything about Gundam, except for the opening theme songs. Maybe not this opening theme song, but the Unicorn theme song was really good, and the first Iron-Blooded Orphans theme song was pretty good, too.
Okay. Yeah, not really caring about them is also that, but it's just, like, it's characters that have been around, like, we've seen them some, but I just, like, couldn't tell you anything about them going into this episode. And maybe part of the point of the episode was to better make us, you know them and care about them. But it just kind of felt like it just suddenly dumped all these characters on us while not paying attention to the ones that we knew better and cared more about. That was like the issue. And then there's the political stuff that I was actually understanding up until this point, and now I'm confused again. Okay. Well, that was Iron-Blooded Orphans. Then we'll go to Hunter Hunter episode 73.
Oh, okay. So I have to do something here. So basically, since we can't ever have multi-person battles, we always have to have one-on-one battles. So that's what happens here, is that Genthru and Pals are going up against Gon and Pals, and they split off into one-on-one battles. So it's Gon versus Genthru, and it's Killua versus a guy whose name I don't know, and it is Bisky against a guy whose name I don't know. So
I don't know their names either.
Yeah. So
I mean, they get defeated quickly enough that it's like, who cares? I guess they kind of spoiled that.
That's not really a spoiler. Killua just kind of mops the floor with them, and Bisky beats her opponent even worse because she decides that she's going to turn into her real form. And, you know, it's kind of like, I made this joke already, but I'll say it anyway. This isn't even my final form. And she becomes really big and really muscular, and her voice changes, and she just kind of kicks the crap out of her opponent. But Gon, who's the weakest one, they of course put him up against their strongest one, which is kind of stupid, but it makes sense because, you know, he's the main character. So Genthru is beating Gon to a pulp, and we'll find out next episode if Gon can survive or if Gon is going to die and then the series gets canceled. So one of those two is more probable. You can try to figure out which one.
Okay. Yeah, that was something I was, like, wondering. Gon appears to be the weakest, or even if he's not necessarily much weaker than Killua, like, Bisky is the strongest, so you'd think that she would go up against Genthru. Although, they talk some about some secret plan they had, so I don't know. I can't remember what it was. I know you've seen this. Like, is that the reason why they had Gon go up against Genthru, or?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. So I'm like trying to figure this out again. I'm like, okay, why did they do that again? Yeah.
Well,
so.
Yeah, because I know Gon talks about that, something like mentions something like about how he's getting beaten up, and he's like, all right, we can do the plan, except he doesn't want to do it yet because he wants to force Genthru to actually use his power against him, which is kind of stupid, but whatever, shonen protagonist.
Yeah,
and that's a good point about like the one-on-one battles. Well, I mean, that's just another thing that's true in a lot of shonen, but one of the things I really liked about the series World Trigger was the fact that it did actually have a decent number of group battles, like groups, like several people against several people, which I always thought was interesting and, you know, just made it a little more than just one-upping someone with your one specific technique.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, yeah, it was okay. It's just the Well, Biscuit was going to win. Biscuit, we like just knew that she was the strongest. Killua had a maybe slightly more suspense, but it was still pretty obvious he was going to win. So it just ends up with Gon going up against Genthru, and just, well, so far it's just been kind of one-sided, so it wasn't really that interesting. We did get a little backstory on the guy who, like, you know, hired them to go into the game, and it was because he wanted to get some card from it to save the life of this person he loved, but then they died, so that's why he decided, oh, well, forget all that, then. I guess they had to give some sort of conclusion to that plot point. But, yeah, that was pretty much Hunter Hunter. You explained it pretty well there. I'm trying to think if there's some other comment I wanted to mention. I can't really think of that. But for the record, though, their names are, now I'm looking at it, Bara, that was the guy up against Biscuit, and who is Killua? Who did Killua fight? Sub. So there you go, Sub and Bara. I'm pretty sure we're not going to ever need to know those names again, though. they're really just, you know, henchman number one and henchman number two. You might as well just call them that. Yeah, like little, like, you know, little thing one and little thing two were at least, you know, kind of honest about the fact that, hey, we're just the guys who help out the Cat in the Hat, and we're basically indistinguishable from one another. Right. That was Hunter Hunter. Lupin the Third, episode 19. So
this was weird.
This was weird. So all of the main characters, including some of the sort of recurring characters, like, you know, Nyx and, well, Rebecca I'd count as a main character. But, yeah, so it's Jigen, Goemon, Fujiko, Rebecca, that her butler guy, Zenigata, and that guy who was in charge of MI6 or whatever. All of them end up with, like, these pictures painted of them that are signed Leonardo da Vinci. So they all end up going to this place, and where, like, food is there, and they eat. And Lupin, like, determines that through a confusing thing, basically, to try to make a long story short, the guy who escaped from MI6 a few episodes back is this guy who ended up getting all this knowledge put into him, and, like, with the mind of Leonardo da Vinci, so he considers himself Leonardo da Vinci, and he just called them all there because, actually, I'm not really sure why, now that I think about it. It says it was just to make the First Supper, which is, you know, like, in reference to the Last Supper, because they're even, like, put at the table, sort of like that painting, but there's that. Anyway, Lupin ends up running across him, and the Leonardo da Vinci guy, like, just mentions about how he's going to remake the world or whatever, and that's pretty much it. It's a weird episode in which, like, a bunch of stuff is revealed, but not really that much happens when you get down to it.
Yeah, I did not get this episode. It was really... And I didn't understand the point of it either, you know? I didn't know, like, what the point of the whole thing was, you know? It was just everyone was getting all upset at each other and stuff, and I don't know.
Well, the point, I guess, was to, like, better introduce a sort of Leonardo character, because I'm going to assume he's going to be an important part of this series from this until the end. It's just so much of the episode is just weird stuff that happens in some exposition, and I'm just feeling like you could have just had him introduced in a different way than this weird episode. Alright, so after that, okay, Naruto Shippuden episode 180. So, everyone begins rebuilding Konoha, and Inari and that old guy who were from, like, that super early Zabuza arc. Remember that? I don't know if you saw it. That was, we're talking really early Naruto.
Like, oh, man. Now I'm thinking about it. I may not have seen this. I might have... I can't remember if I saw this episode or not.
That one... Well, it was an arc, not really an episode.
No, I mean this episode.
Oh, you might
have... I think I accidentally forgot to watch this episode because I just was thinking about... I don't know what. Okay. I just forgot.
All right. I'm going to be honest. You didn't miss much because let me get. So I'll just say it. Those two of those important characters we met way back in that Zabuza arc show up. And, you know, one of them was a kid is much older now and they show up and, you know, they're like, oh, hey, we haven't seen each other for a while. And that's the first few minutes of the episodes. And that's the only canon stuff you get because the rest of it is all a filler flash back to some adventure that the characters had after the end of that arc, which I don't think was ever in the manga. So, like, we got 3 minutes of canon, and then the rest of it was all filler. And wow. A filler flashback, too. So you don't even, like, at least get to believe it makes some sort of... it matters to some degree in the continuity of the present. It's a filler flashback. There's been so much of that, recently. Like, at least, even the one where we had Kakashi last episode, that was at least, you know, flashbacks to stuff that happened in canon, but it still was essentially padding via flashback.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so much of that lately in Naruto.
Yeah. How much more of this filler are we getting?
I mean, it's a weird thing in that the episodes aren't pure filler. They have some level of stuff from the actual canon, and then they just have something... and then most of the episode is still just a bunch of, like, you know, flashbacks or fillers. And, okay, I'll take a quick look. Okay, it looks like next episode is like that. having a little trouble just looking at this. I'm just trying to figure out if I think the next, and then I think we get a filler arc after that. So wow, like lots of filler in Naruto. I think someone like did calculations and determined. This is off the top of my head, and it might not be correct, but I feel like I'll just look it up to make sure.
Okay.
I just want to see if this is true. Okay. So according to this, Yes. Naruto has approximately 43% of the episodes are filler.
Which is not the record, though. The record goes to Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon has... the biggest percentage of filler of any anime ever.
I mean,
did you know that?
Yeah, you mentioned it before, but its adaptation is so loose. I'm not even sure I can really call it filler because
that is true.
In that way, yeah. Now, to be fair, I think part of a big portion of that was what people called like the filler hell, which was when like for a really long time, like at least a year, maybe even two, it was just nothing but filler. It was at the end of, it all happened before the time skipping the series. And they just had this insane amount of filler there. And I mean, I guess that is a decent enough place to put filler. And then they went through the time skip and such. I mean, I get this is kind of the thing you have to do when you're airing these things on a weekly basis from a weekly comic where at normal pacing, it would be two chapters into one episode. But yeah, I'm not sure if it's better or worse than what the One Piece anime has started doing a lot, which is they don't do filler arcs. They just do a crazy amount of padding in each episode. As in, like, you know, trying to in some cases, really silly stuff. Like, I've seen people say, like, in recent episodes, they, like, take 9 pages of the manga, and then they just somehow pad it out to a full episode.
Wow.
Yeah. It wasn't anywhere near that bad when it was airing on Toonami. This is more recent stuff, but I have heard repeatedly that the farther it goes along, the more and more the One Piece anime starts doing this, that sort of thing.
What are they at? Episode 1000?
I think they had passed a one. Let's see. I'm not sure about that because I don't think there would be more. That many more episodes than there were chapters, and I know they haven't hit 1,000 in the chapters yet, so let me see if this is. No, that's not it. Where's it? Oh, okay, here we go. That was just part of it. One PC anime has. Oh, that's not it. Why am I. Oh. Sorry, there's so many episodes that I was looking at one page on Wikipedia to see it, except it didn't do all of them. So then I looked at the next one, and it still didn't do all of them. Now I'm looking at, okay, the up until the present, there have been 814 episodes. Oh, I'm sorry, that one hasn't aired yet. There have been 813 episodes of One Piece.
Wow. And what were we on? What were we on? 300 something?
Yeah, we were in the 300s.
And we're never gonna get back.
Yeah. What was its chapter count though? Let me double check on that. And One Piece is up to chapter 885. Well, still not as long as Hajime no Ippo. That thing's in like the thousands now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just weird that this like boxing comic has lasted so long. But Oh boy, are we getting totally off topic? Oh yeah, Hajime no Ippo's at like 1,178 chapters. I know Koichi Kame went on for way longer, but that thing lasted 40 years, so.
Okay, yeah. Outlaw Star.
Outlaw Star, yes. Actual Toonami stuff. So, Outlaw... it was Outlaw Star. For some reason, I thought Ghost in the Shell aired before, but it is Outlaw Star. Outlaw Star, episode 11. So, the main characters continuing their race. They do manage to get through that obstacle they had at the end of the previous episode just by going fast enough that they avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they Aisha ends up basically wanting to get onto their ship, so she sort of just leaves her own ship and fakes some sort of distress call thing, and they pick her up, and then she gets seen, and then actually I'm not really sure what her plan was supposed to be after that, because she like is like, yeah, I got in, and then next it just cuts to her talking about him, like not attacking or anything, just talking and quizzing him on the Galactic Ley Line, which they didn't know anything about. So yeah, that was a weird thing. I was very confused about what her plan was supposed to be. But anyway, in terms of the actual race, the main characters, you know, they're doing they end up with those the guys from the El Dorado actually fire some missiles at them, and I'm not sure how they get away with that exactly without getting caught, because I'm pretty sure that would be against the rules of the event. Or is it not against the rules of the event, in which case that brings up all sorts of questions. Anyway, they get hit by the thing while they're trying to go into whatever I think is supposed to be their version of hyperspace, but because the ship is so darn special, it's able to survive, and because of that, they're also able to ride the thing to the end and do the hyperspace moving thing. I don't know this, can't remember all this technobabble, I'm sorry. The end of it is that they get fourth place, not in the top three that they were supposed to, but they finish in first place in like the privateer class. So Fred's like, well, that's good enough, and they all just kind of break even on everything.
And then the Kataro girl and Jim celebrate in hilariously ugly uniforms that they put on to celebrate their first place minutes. And it's so funny that the Kataro girl is celebrating like she really contributed to, I mean, she slowed them down, if anything, but she was celebrating along with them. That was the best part of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an enjoyable episode in that, you know, it kind of advanced some things. I can't remember exactly where it goes from this, but it was an enjoyable episode. It did, like, you know, I guess try to explain somewhat why the ship was special, because it was able to do these technobabble things that most other ships can't. That did them well, and I feel like I want to say more about this, but I just can't really think about. Oh yeah, now I remember. So the ending of the episode is that they find out that they were left a message, and it goes to be continued. That's it. Like, you've got a message to be continued. So it's basically the equivalent of like your phone going, you've got mail to be continued. Like, it doesn't even show the message. It just tells him he got one. Like, what? Like, for all we know, the message was, like, misdelivered. And it was, like, you know, something he was sending to someone else. You meant to send. Like, you... but, yeah. On the whole, pretty decent episode.
Yeah.
So, Ghost in the Shell, episode 29, or season episode 3 of season 2. Did you manage to...
Well, I watched an episode of Ghost in the Shell second gig, so I watched one episode, but I don't think this is the one that aired. I watched whatever was on demand, so I just decided to watch. I was like, okay, I'll see what my cable provider has on demand, and I just picked, they had only one episode, so I just picked that episode and watched it. Are they putting it up on the website yet?
No, it's not like, no, they're not doing that, yet. Right now, I'll double check what episodes they've, got. They've, for season 2, they, like, got episode 7, 8, then it skips to 22, and then it goes 22, 23, and then it concludes them up to 26. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll get caught up properly once we get to episode 7 or something. But it's really weird that they're not, that they're not putting them up.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so, it's up to you, then.
Okay. So, this was a kind of weird episode. So, basically... this guy gets told that gets some hacker breaks into his like sort of building and such and leaves some message saying that they're going to steal something. So he ends up hiring the main character's section 9. I was blanking on what number it was for some reason. to try to figure it out. Anyway, it turns out in the end, though, that that Section 9 was actually the one behind the hacking thing to begin with, and the whole thing was a ploy to get the guy to open the vault for them so that they could do an investigation to see if he was money laundering, which he was. And that was it. And I'm trying to figure out, because that sort of hacker we see at the end, you look at her, and it's obvious, and it's so obviously supposed to be the Major in disguise. I'm like trying to figure out: were we supposed to know that, or was it supposed to be a twist that it was her? That this was all a convoluted plot of Section 9? Because I was trying to figure. Because I did not under. Because I wasn't sure if we were supposed to know that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just on a standalone episode. I'm hoping we get into some more of the sort of plot based things soon.
The episode I watched was definitely a complex episode, and it was a pretty good episode. But I think it was episode 7, so it was pretty good. So that would be fun once we get to that one. Episode 7 of season 2.
All right. So that was all the things that aired on Toonami. In terms of our pick for favorite, I am personally going to pick JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I did really like the episode. It had some flaws, but I mostly really liked the atmosphere that it built and the sort of mysteries it built up.
Yeah, I didn't like JoJo this week, so I'm going with Outlaw Star. I thought it was both entertaining and funny, and Outlaw Star continues to be the... I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it's good, because if it wasn't good, they never would have brought it back after 15 years or whatever. They never would have brought back a mediocre show like... let's say Michiko and Hatchin or something, but
well, that one never aired on Toonami. That was just, I think that anime mostly got put on Toonami because it wasn't very well known, and they were hoping, maybe that would like give it some promotion and such.
Mm-hmm. Well, in any case, yeah, I might have picked Ghost in the Cell had that episode been on the air, because it was a great episode, but it wasn't the right episode, so I have to go with Outlaw Star.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. It would have been my second choice, which is unfortunately becoming distressingly common, that my favorite would either be Outlaw Star or JoJo.
Yeah, you'll have to wait for the Chimera Ant arc for Hunter Hunter to be back in the conversation again. Until we move on to that arc, Hunter Hunter's not going to be in the conversation.
I thought you didn't like that arc.
I didn't.
Oh.
But I didn't like it. But there are going to be a few signing moments, and those occasional good moments will at least make it in the conversation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So Take it for what you think. It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. So we got that. I suppose we should... let me make sure I'm getting it right. So it was next week we weren't doing an episode?
Right. Next week, due to the Thanksgiving holiday and other travel situations, we cannot record. So... But the Saturday of Thanksgiving is not going to be any new Toonami. So what we would essentially do is just do next week's shows a week late. And so our next podcast will be in 2 weeks, but it will be about the episodes that air this coming Saturday.
Yeah, basically that. And then we'll have the fun of trying to see how much we can actually remember after that amount of time. But yeah, so we won't be having something next week, but we'll be having next week's episode in 2 weeks, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's pretty much everything for that. Did you have any extra comments?
No, I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving, which is customary, because we won't be able to do that next week. And, unfortunately, my Thanksgiving isn't going to be that fun, but hopefully yours will be better than mine, so.
Okay. Yeah. Thanksgiving is always a little, weird in that, well, I guess it depends where you work and stuff, but like I get Thursday off, but not Friday. I'm supposed to come in on Friday, And it's actually really hard to get the Friday after Thanksgiving off because so many people want it off that, you know, you have to like ask well in advance or else that someone else, too many other people will have done it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little weird to have, you know, this holiday and then this non-holiday and then the weekend. It makes you kind of feel like Thanksgiving should have been a Friday. I mean, that's a question. Was there any particular reason they picked Thursday for it? Now I'm suddenly curious. Let me look it up. On the fourth Thursday, so... okay, date... Mm-hmm. Yeah, a very quick look on it doesn't indicate any particular reason why they chose Thursday, but... It just feels so weird because normally the things are on Friday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's other holidays that will, you know, happen during the week, but they're not always on a Thursday is what I'm
saying.
Right,
yeah. I understand.
It's just such a weird day of the week to always put a holiday. Okay, but that was that. I don't really have anything else to add myself. Other than, I guess, happy Thanksgiving for you, hopefully. And I will say, yep, that's pretty much it. Have a happy Thanksgiving and don't get trampled on Black Friday.
Bye-nee.